This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour, leading you down the road to optimal living with Dr. Kevin Wallace and Dr. Zahara Sundermeyer. The doctors will focus on the foundations of health and newfound therapies you may not even know existed. Come join us on the path to your optimal life. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Kevin and Dr. Zahara.
Hey, guys.
What's
happy,
up?
Where are we? Thursday. Happy Thursday.
No, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And today is my nephew's 16th birthday. So I am saying happy birthday to him out in the digital world.
Yep. I'm in Seattle. So yeah, we had a great weekend. We learned a lot about integrative oncology. So
yeah, we just got back.
Yeah. So Dr. Anderson, who is on next, a big shout out. A great conference. We learned a lot about obviously integrative cancer care. So,
yeah. So obviously, well, he definitely takes the boat in being able to talk about that. But we'll definitely get to one of those subjects at some point, I'm sure.
So last week, I guess we had some problems with sound. So hopefully everybody can hear us today.
We went through some great troubleshooting before the show started to find out what was going on with our computers.
Sweat on my forehead. I'm trying to figure it out. So obviously this is a peptide part two. So we'd love to go ahead and have your questions if you have any questions, and Dr. Sundermeyer has all that information.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I'm Dr. Sundermeyer and he's Dr. Wallace. We all might know that by now, but, if you do have any questions for us, you can give us a call at 844-390-8255. And we'll definitely do our best to answer them as we move forward through today's talk. We're going to start with a bit of a recap since we had some technical difficulties, I should say, at that first show. I want to make sure that we kind of get the gist of everything that we discussed at our first peptide talk. So Dr. Wallace, why don't you go ahead and kind of break down again just what peptides are and what peptide therapy is?
Yeah, so peptide therapy has been around for a long time. I think in the last maybe 5 years, it's come into more of the forefront.
Okay.
Some of the peptides that are being made in labs. So these peptides mimic our natural peptides within the body. So they're naturally occurring bioregulatory chemicals that basically create a response at the cell membrane.
Okay.
That's all different than hormones, and they create a response. Another basically a messenger system happens, then obviously you have that action that's going to take place.
So, and you said it's kind of different than hormones. In what sense would you say?
Well, hormones work in a sense of DNA and RNA transcription within the cell. Peptides at the cell membrane site.
Ah, so it's just causing change and effect in each of those cells, kind of going in. Okay.
Yep.
Very cool. So we also talked a little bit about the theories of aging when we last had our last talk. So do you want to briefly cover what that means and how peptides can be implemented within that?
Yeah. So, you know, the theories of aging are program theories, and then they have the basically wear and tear theories, or basically the damage theories.
Okay.
And so the program theories basically state that a cell will have a certain lifespan, and then that cell will go ahead and obviously be destroyed, or obviously cannot replicate anymore, and obviously go into apoptosis, and a new cell is obviously being made.
Okay.
And so this was founded by a doctor a long time ago. I have him here. So Dr. Alexis Carroll, which was the first person who designed one of these cell theories. And he went ahead and said that, well, if you give it the right ingredients, the cell should last forever or replicate forever. But some of the flaws of that is that he kept on putting the material back into the medium of newer cells. So that cell had basically new fertilizer to just go and go, and the fibroblast to go and go.
Okay.
And so Hayflick found out that, nope, a cell probably has around 50 cell cycles. And so after 50, obviously it can you know, obviously pass on or create apoptosis. But he found out if we can freeze the cell, let's say after 30, it has a replication or whatever, that if you ungo ahead and now make it more viable, it will continue pass on those other 20 replications.
Okay.
And so that was one theory. Then also, obviously, we have the telomere theory of aging, that we basically have a length of a telomere, and that telomere will replicate, or every cell division. And if it continues, then that telomere continues to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. And so both of these are valid, the program theories, as well as the free radical damage or the wear and tear theories.
Well, and there's a lot of supplements now that that companies are marketing that enhance, or I guess not necessarily enhance, but stop telomere aging at this point, supposedly, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the one thing that we can do, so we have to understand that DNA replication takes place all the time. So if we're feeding it to obviously replicate faster, that means smoking and drinking beyond, you know, abundant amounts, eating chili cheese fries, and stuff like that.
All the good stuff.
That telomere every day is going like this.
Right.
And so obviously we have to start at the foundation, which is one of our first talk, and talking about proper nutrition and those types of things, to go ahead and help on out, because that's going to obviously slow down the length. And so what they found with some of these peptides, you know, I'm skipping forward a little bit, that you can be a 40-year-old and have a telomere of a 60-year-old.
Right.
Well, you can start specifically at that time and really start to take care of the telomere, and that telomere will basically replicate really slow. So you can catch up. So now you can be 60 and have a 60-year-old telomere. So those are the things that you can go ahead and do. And obviously certain supplements, you know, people can buy expensive ones that are out there, or they can just research or ask us in a lovely private message, and we can love to tell you what kind of supplements that you can take.
Well, we might actually start promoting them on our new website, The Proper Things, right?
Stragulus root, those things, like I said, work very well. So you don't
have
to
buy it. Just give it away.
A $100, you know, product, when there are some simple things you can do, as well as peptides.
Right.
And so now we have the damage theories, which are free radical glycosylation. So obviously free radical damage is from everything. Chemicals, the sun.
Right.
What we eat, you know, all those things. Smoking.
Environment,
you know,
obviously.
Environment, you know, all those things are and cause the free radical damage. So that can interfere with obviously the protein structures, creates an aberrant cell. And that cell can, when as it replicates, it just doesn't have possibly the chromatin in a tight bundle to try to make everything specific and tight and proper. And so you have that. And then you have the glycosylation, which means obviously blood sugar. So too much blood sugar attaches proteins onto cells, and it can really damage the cells that way. So,
which unfortunately is a big chunk of today's modern society diseases, especially in the U.S., I would say, is that glycosylation, or too much sugar going into the body and us not knowing how to use it properly, because there's nothing that the body needs for it anymore, right?
Yeah, and all these things are intertwined. So it's not just here's one theory and that's how you're going to do it. So, it's wear and tear, that means I'm going to go ahead and just live inside and never see the sun and, you know, all the other stuff. Everything, they're all combined in together to go ahead and create, like I said, an overall theory of how we age.
Okay.
Excuse me. And that's why we created this life enhancement medicine, just because we wanted to sit there and help people slow down the effects of all the free radical damage and increasing the telomere length and or slowing the telomere degradation.
Okay.
The things. And there's obviously peptides that are specific to helping on with that.
Okay. Well, with that being said, a couple other things that we had discussed at our last meeting, because we do need to kind of briefly touch base with them, was immune system. And I know we're going to touch base with it again, I believe. Is that correct? Like, we're going to just kind of go through it through the talk as we proceed, or should we kind of do a little brief discussion about immune function and thymosin alpha? Because that was the big one we really discussed at peptide part one. I feel like that was one that everybody really missed out on of the ones we did talk about.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to go over it more in regards
to it,
because we're going to talk about it specifically.
Oh, good. Perfect.
So, yeah. So when we think of life enhancement or anti-aging, you know, we think of certain realms. Immune function is important, because we don't want an immune system that's running wild through our system, creating antibodies. We want a healthy endocrine system that's, you know, making appropriate hormones to survive our stress and to go ahead and help with brain function and sleep and all those things. So the goal of this one here is to sit there and kind of bring that all into play, to sit there and say, well, these are the ones that we really suggest because they're all intertwined into life enhancement. You know, you can't just go ahead and say, well, here's thymus and alpha for immune system, even though it has a really great effect overall, and, you know, expect to go ahead and if you have growth hormone deficiency, and it's going to help out with that. So there's all kinds of things we can do.
Well, and I think that definitely goes to show that you can't just say, well, A equals B, so here is your outcome as C, right? Because you've had a couple patients that have seen other practitioners for digestive issues and for leaky gut or SIBO type things. Mm-hmm. And they got, where did they even get their peptides from? From some website, I think.
Correct. So there are.
They based on another practitioners who can't prescribe, right?
Yeah. So
I want to just say that you can't just A plus B equals C with peptides. So we're going to talk about these in general terms. But, you know, the big goal of this statement here is that you should really see someone like Dr. Wallace, who is actually taking the time, is a part of the International Peptide Society, is listening to webinars all week long, is going to the trainings, and is knowing how to treat you as a person. So that's my little disclaimer. You know, we are licensed practitioners, and Dr. Wallace is taking hours upon hours of his time to educate himself in proper use. So although we might say, hey, thymus and alpha is great for the immune system, that might not actually be the reason or what peptide is necessary for you. So it's really important not to just go out and spend your money, because these things are inexpensive, but to see a proper practitioner that's not just going to send you to some random website to purchase your product from.
Yeah.
It should be actual prescriptions.
Mm-hmm. And okay. So, you know, there are different websites where you can get them from China and you can just buy them.
Right.
And, but the thing is, it's like, you don't know the potency of it. You don't know. So, you know, we're hoping that obviously the compounding, sterile compounding pharmacies that we use, mm-hmm. obviously on a daily basis, they're regulated. So we know, it's like if a batch is bad, you know, that right. we know the serial number and sit there and say, hey, you know, this thing is not working. You know, those mm-hmm. types of things. And so
and there's a reporting system.
Yeah. And we've had some other people come over from buying stuff that was online. They go, well, I'm taking yours and it's a little bit, I feel a little bit better. And, you know, so, you know, I'm not against people going out and just trying it on their own, just understanding that there are some detriments, especially with some of the thymus and betas and cancer, that, you know, cancer cell can go ahead and actually produce this thymus and beta. So if you're taking that for, you know, tissue integrity or wound mm-hmm. healing, you're taking it. It exacerbates some cancer effects. And so you just want to make sure that you're seeing someone that knows what they're doing and can monitor you.
Correct. And help actually answer your questions and take a proper case.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, I would love to actually talk a bit more about growth hormone peptides, because I think this is a amazing forefront in life enhancement medicine. I mean, my own personal experience we'll talk about momentarily, but there are a lot of different types and each of them have a lot of different half-lives, but I'm kind of curious about your thoughts with growth hormone releasing peptides and secreting peptides.
Mm-hmm. And so we're finding out more and more. I found a great study talking about growth hormone that if anybody wants, they can go ahead and email us. I'll send you the lovely link so you can read it on your own. It's very long. But talking about growth hormone being obviously a prohormone and how that prohormone creates proteolytic cleavages, that now you have really smaller amounts of growth hormone in the amino acid sequence, rather than just here is growth hormone, it's an mm-hmm. amino acid sequence and it does this effect. And so that's why in the life enhancement, I don't think there's any other hormone specifically that touches all of our functions in our body, from brain to immune to the stimulating the steroidogenic pathway to bone health, mm-hmm. heart health, brain. And so it's kind of a staple in regards to our life enhancement protocol, because as we age, obviously growth hormone goes down, and in
correct.
Our lifestyles of poor sleep and less sex, okay, those are the two things that really increase growth hormone. So if we don't sleep, we're not going to make as much growth hormone. If we don't have sex on a regular basis, you know, obviously I think everybody knows the supplements that they can take to improve growth hormone. You know, some right. of the NOASs, citrulline, intermittent fasting can help on out with that. So, you know, those are things.
And obviously sleep affects so many other different things. So, I mean, one of my favorite things to tell people is, well, I can't do anything if I can't get you to sleep. So it's interesting how just by encouraging sleep enhances growth hormone alone. So that, and that's not always the goal of a lot of practitioners when they're telling people you need to sleep, right? And I don't think you get the same type of growth hormone secretion if it's a medicated type of sleep with like prescription medications. Would you say that that's correct?
So, I would say so.
So things maybe more like supplements or herbal remedies to help support melatonin, which is commonly known to help enhance calming of the mind. Obviously, sleep hygiene, dimming those lights in the evening time, stop the cell phone, stop the tablets, read a book, an actual paper book, read a magazine versus your tablet and social media, because all those can actually negatively affect just natural sleep onset. Mm-hmm. And so those are big things that, you know, will naturally encourage just your own body to do its job better. So just remember that.
But also a lot of times when people think about growth hormone, they go ahead and go, well, I want growth hormone because I want to look younger. So obviously mental capacity, skin health, you know, removing some of the fine lines. But a lot of times people come in and they do have sleep disturbances and we've tried everything. It's because they probably have a growth hormone deficiency.
Yeah, things to think about with tests.
And so those are the things that, you know, we have to look at. You know, growth hormone obviously supports other pathways, the IGF-1, the ghrelin, which is a secretagogue. And so it does support kind of like all those systems. And so, you know, when we talk about growth hormone, you know, it stimulates the steroidogenic pathway to DHEA. And so a lot of times, again, if people have a low DHEA and you're taking a good intake and a good case, and you sit there and test them and they're low, well, one of the correlations, it could be growth hormone because it stimulates that 11 beta hydroxy, gosh, it's a long one, hydroxysteroid dehydrogenase 1, that pathway
which
is over into
everybody needs to know, unless you're a clinician, right?
Correct. And so you can supplement with DHEA and they might raise their levels, but a lot of times if you supplement those things appropriately and obviously checking other parameters and do growth hormone in regards to a peptide releasing structure, then it's like they actually improve. And so does that obviously reverses fatty liver. We're finding out more and more that it actually helps that at the corpus luteum level until that starts to produce progesterone. So it's kind
of
like
a part of women's menstrual cycle, specifically supporting ovarian function, right? So one of those things that can be used in infertility as well, or even just abnormal menstrual cycles or low progesterone. Just some women have a naturally low progesterone, really crazy, excessively heavy menstrual cycles, even short menstrual cycles. And that's obviously can be associated with a progesterone deficiency. And so things like that can be supported by these growth hormone peptides specifically.
It induces some of the nitric oxide component.
And what's nitric oxide good for exactly?
Vasodilation. It's an antioxidant. So
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. So high blood pressure. So again, so somebody comes up low DH. So that's the thing about understanding how to interpret stuff. Always have high blood pressure no matter what.
Right.
Okay. And you're doing everything and their DHEA is low and they don't sleep. And, you know, those types of things, you can sum up, maybe correlate. Well, it's like, let's try some growth hormone on the peptide and see if it'll help on out.
Now, there's a lot of different growth hormones at this point in time, which have different mechanisms, or are they just acting in different lengths of time?
Well, again, so they're thinking it's a prohormone. So that's something that we technically don't know everything quite just yet.
Okay.
So as it goes ahead and goes in and it creates and it cleaves off and it comes a shorter amino acid sequence, then it goes into a different. It's like the only thing that I researched is like, what does actually growth hormone do?
Got it.
So, you know, you have the basic stuff, you know, skin elasticity, and it improves, you know, mental capacity or mental clarity. It improves all that. But it's like,
well, I know when I did mine, I felt 15 again, or at least when it came to running. I haven't felt 15 to in running in, well, you know, 20 years, right? So to do some math there for a second. But I know when I did some growth hormone just so I could experience what it felt like so that I could talk to patients about it and have a true life experience. I felt like my stamina was fantastic. Normally, if you guys start exercising and you start running, there's this oxygen debt that you get, or this like, oh God, I just ran for 3 minutes and now I can feel it and I'm a little bit tired and I think I gotta stop and maybe my hip hurts now or something. You know, like we all have that when we start exercising again.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. Yeah. And I was sat there and I was, you know, you run the dog in the morning and I was like, wow, I'm still running. And my knee feels like it has great motion. That's the best way I think I can say it. I always feel like my knee is clunky, especially my left knee after, you know, playing sports when I was younger and, you know, not sitting out when I should have. But after doing a month's worth of the growth hormone peptides that you would prescribe for me, I felt fantastic. Mm-hmm. Saddens me to say that I stopped them, but, you know, did for other... We're going to start back up, but for other personal reasons, right? But, you know, the goal is just to be able to understand. Now, there's a couple different types of growth hormone peptides. What do you think your favorite is this far since trying them and why?
So I'll answer the question of like when it comes to the knee. It's like, why did it help the knee? Was it because the immune system, it is stimulated in regards to an anti-inflammatory with interleukin-10 and interferon?
That's a good question.
The tissue repair, is it because it actually increases nitric oxide and it helps on out with vasodilation? So that's the thing. So it works on so many arenas, growth hormone does. Again, it's like one of those things. People have aches and pains and they have this and, you know, it's a very safe peptide to utilize in a regimen in regards to life enhancement, not like growth hormones specifically.
Right.
Insulin, you know, hyperglycemia and insulin or insulin resistance is very low with the peptide just because of the mechanism.
Okay.
So the two that I use in sequence are CJC1295, which is a growth hormone releasing hormone, and then Ipamorlin, which is a secretagogue. And so they work basically two different separate ways to maximize potential at the receptor site. And so these two in combination have worked very, very well. The old one that is out there is called Somorolin, and that has usually about a half-life in the system, about 10 minutes. So when you inject it, it works at the receptor for 10. So Ipamorlin and CJC works for about 30 to 45.
Okay.
And then they have a new one, Tesamorlin, which I am trying, and it works on the receptor site for about maybe an hour, hour, 30 minutes. So the stability of them and how it works from different angles in regards to stimulating ghrelin and IGF-1, and to go ahead and stimulate growth hormone, you want to work it from different potentials in that regard.
Well, and I think one thing that we discussed at our initial talk 2 weeks ago was that the really amazing thing about peptides, and specifically that are being used to support growth hormone, is that we are supporting all the different growth hormones that the body makes and enhancing those, that production and release, right? We're not just injecting Omnitrope or Norditropin, which are growth hormones fully, like an actual hormone itself that is just being injected a single form. So there's these amazing studies about the different mechanisms that each of these different hormones have on our body. And if we only get one, you know, how is that impacting the rest of the body? And also, you know, just general health in the long run.
So anybody that wants to try growth hormone, you know, those are the things. They set up an appointment with us, sit there and talk about your case, trials of it. And like I said, very safe. And like I said, it can very, very affect your body. Long-term use of it is actually can be utilized just because of the cycling mechanism.
Right.
Not wearing out the receptor site.
Right.
Simple sub-Q injection, 5 days out of seven is usually what is recommended.
Right.
And then I know we have a lot of peptides, so I'm going to speed this up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we could talk forever about growth hormone. Now, you had talked initially about telomeres, and I think kind of the next one moves into conversations about telomeres. Is that correct?
Yeah, so, you know, we talked about the program theory and the free radical theory. And so is there peptides to actually help with those two factors? And it's like, ding, ding, yes, there is.
We need a bell or a whistle. or yeah. a horn or something. Woo.
So the two ones that have really good studies behind it are epithalon, which is our body makes it to go ahead and increase telomerase. And obviously that will go ahead and help on out with the telomere. So again, I can talk about all the scientific nature, but if anybody wants other information, they can always go ahead and contact and I can send you some of these studies with information for it. But it also helps on out with the chromatin, and that is somewhat the architectural structure of DNA. And so okay. it's supposed to be nice and tightly woven and aging. And you know, like we talked about last time, the senescent mm-hmm. cell that doesn't continue on to apoptosis will start to unwind.
Right.
And so this chromatin actually gets affected. And so epithalon will go ahead and improve, obviously, telomerase activity, but also help with the chromatin. And so they got great testing in regards to certain studies that people have been injected with this. They've tested them and found out that their telomere length has stabilized or actually stopped, as well as the DNA structure with their chromatin starts to make it basically reproduce at a younger age. And so this is something that can be done very, very well. So I just read this study, I think, a couple of days ago.
I haven't heard of this.
So that is helping with the program theory. So they also found out that, again, like a normal cell will have a 50 somewhat cycle. They've given, you know, in rat cultures and other cell cultures, and so then see, well, if we induce epithalon into this culture, well, that cell replication now went from 50 all the way up into the 70s. So you actually had 20 more cell replication in regards to that. So they have some great studies along that way. So it's part of, again, the life enhancement protocol for people that want to. They actually have been doing more studies in actually tumor necrosis. And we're actually going ahead and inducing this and how it's tumor protective or cancer protective.
Epithalon is cancer protective?
This is epithalon. So again, if we have normal DNA sequencing, reproduction, all those things, and if we don't have aberrant cells, they're able to die off.
Right.
They're being made. They're not basically staying in the senescent or component, not creating the inflammatory problems. They can replicate and then just die off. Well, this is actually very tumor protective. And so
Really preventative in a sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Which obviously needs to be go along with natural diet and hydration and being aware of processed foods, right? You can't just take an injection and be like, I am cancer protected or protected against.
Correct. Well, exactly. Okay. And so we have, you know, it's like, we think about the food pyramid, like this is the health pyramid. At the very base is just nutrition, food. And then at the little tiny tip of the pyramid is like, okay, now we can induce peptides and help you on out.
Correct.
But if you don't have any of that base, drinking water, laughing, sleeping and stuff like that, well, of course the peptides are going to have an effect, but it's like, you might as well just write me a check and just send it to me.
Which would be okay too.
Which would be okay. And so, the other one we talked about, free radical damage and oxidative stress. So another one is called GHKCU, which is copper, copper component. So it has been very well in showing to actually reduce oxidative stress, to decrease inflammation. And so again, some great studies out there talking about this peptide.
Tell me once that this one is amazing for skin health as well?
It's also amazing for skin health. So copper is a big component for skin. And so, but if we think about skin and aging,
right.
So we talk about all that component of cell replication and free radical damage. Mm-hmm. So we can go ahead and improve the health of the skin in regards to that free radical damage, then obviously the skin will go ahead and improve. And so I think you and I have all seen people that have come in and they've had, when I say oxidative stress, and obviously we can test for different tests through different ones that we use, I know 8-hydroxy, we can actually go in and test for your telomerase activity to see where your telomere length is at. So there's actually testing for that. But if we improve that, all of a sudden they come back and they're, wow, your skin looks better. You know, you look good. And that's just doing antioxidants. That's just might be increasing your dark berries. And things naturally. And all of a sudden your skin starts to look better, hydration. So all those things are incorporated, but obviously this peptide can be utilized to help on out with some of the oxidative stress. So these are the two that I think really influence those theories of aging. So the programmed epithalon in regards to cell replication and telomere length, the free radical damage caused by everything that we do down to our thoughts, can really be helped on out with the GHKCU. And so these are very easy to go ahead and purchase and obviously take as an injection.
Very cool. Well, that sounds exciting. There's some really cool things happening with peptides these days, it seems.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, they're all, you know, it's like, I think with like medications, you know, which I'm hoping that, you know, the goal, I think, of peptides is to have people trained and not to become a wild, wild west and make huge claims like this is going to cure cancer, which nothing does. It's like,
no,
we're responsible doctors. What we give to you is only going to help in the environment that you allow it to help you.
Right. Kind of right back to like making healthy soil so healthy cells grow, right? You can't plant a really great garden without good nutrients in the soil. But we spend so much time putting nutrients in the soil, we forget that we're supposed to do that for our bodies as well.
Yeah. And so we just want to make sure that the practitioners that are, you know, promoting peptides are doing things appropriately, because it's one of those things, I know the FDA has us on the radar.
Oh, so yeah.
To sit there and see, it's like, what claims are you making? What are you doing? You
know, correct.
Things are happening. So we don't want to have practitioners or patients going around that possibly got a bad batch somewhere and they took it and all of a sudden they had an extreme reaction or something happened and they put a review or whatever and then that gets picked on up.
Well, and the joys of that is that that should be your own awareness. I think when you're purchasing it from a unreputable source direct from some website, you really are saying, okay, I accept responsibility with really what you should be saying. But unfortunately it impacts practitioners that are treating people as a whole. And there are a lot of, I guess, how do we say this? Practitioners that are not licensed properly to even prescribe these things,
would
you say, that are prescribing them currently?
There are some well-known people that have extremely good podcasts and stuff like that that promote it. I know they've done their research and all of that, but what they do is they say, well, this peptide will help you, but then they sit there and say, please, like, you know, get it, but they can't prescribe it from a reputable compounding pharmacy, so
correct,
that person will get it from whatever pharmacy, and they may be feeling great. But it just takes one time in order to not.
Which is so sad.
And so we just want to make sure that if somebody like that, you know, you listen to their podcast, then go find someone that really knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sit there and dispense it on out appropriately and all that. And we can sit there and say, great, well, now everything worked fantastic.
Correct.
So I think the next one we talked about is like immune dysregulation. And this is where we'll get into thymosin alpha and then beta.
This one I'm super intrigued about, and we talked about this a little bit, and we'll definitely recap a couple of things, because we talked a little bit about autoimmunity with thymosin alpha when we last spoke, and specifically the conversation between TH1 and TH2 immune system. Mm-hmm. Do you want to describe what that means a little bit more, Dr. Wallace?
Well, I will. I'll make it brief. So
dysregulation.
Sentence worth. Or as immuno, like I said, those cells become, they don't basically die on off. It's like we can have an increase in TH2 relative to TH1. So the body creating antibodies and trying to attack itself. So a lot of these thymosins try to work by inducing more of a TH1 component. And so those types of things, like immune system has been found out in depression, insulin resistance, obesity, chronic fatigue, autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chronic infections, oxidative stress, glutathione depletion, all that. So, you know, since even just last week, I've been reading more about thymosin alpha in regards to how it really focuses on the whole totality of that life enhancement. And again, it's one of those ones that really works in trying to regulate immune system to function properly. So I think most people think that our immune system is there just when we have a cold, but it's not. It's
there to
help us if we can't digest our food. It's got to digest the food. It's got to go ahead and work every day to fight off everything that we breathe in.
Correct.
Out. It helps with tissue repair.
Yep.
All of those things. And so when the immune system is in disarray or it's just not functioning well, you're going to feel
like
that. And that can be from Epstein-Barr or viral components. And so we want to take back our body's ability to actually fight certain diseases, increase dendritic cell population so it can recognize different diseases and stuff like that. So thymosin alpha works very, very well.
What kind of things with your research would you say is thymosin, you're saying thymosin alpha is geared towards more specific forms of autoimmunity versus others, is that correct?
Yeah.
When we talked last time. Mm-hmm. So more associated with, I think we talked about lupus was being one of them.
Yeah,
so lupus patients are a really great candidate for utilizing this type of a peptide.
Yeah, RA. Actually food sensitivities, those types of things, antibody formation.
Really? So like things with like a leaky gut component as well to help support the inflammatory process of the GI.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. That I didn't know.
Yep. So anything you think of that creates an antibody. So obviously leaky gut, you know, mm-hmm. protein molecules pass through the gut that are not supposed to, they enter the bloodstream. The body doesn't recognize it. It sits there and goes, this is a foreign invader, and it makes an antibody to it. And all of a sudden, you have fibromyalgia type symptoms because now you have this circulating immune complex that sometimes is too large to be held into blood. So what is called flocculate, okay, which is a newer word, which means instead of precipitate, flocculate onto tissue, and the tissue doesn't like it. So they have to shoot enzymes up to try to digest this thing.
Okay.
Have shoulder pain. And now the next day the shoulder pain is better. And now we have knee pain. And now we have whatever. And so the objective of that is to obviously try to repair the gut, but also tell the immune system, okay, it's a, you know, chill on out. Let's go ahead and convert. Let's attack these things appropriately. Create, try to lessen the chaos. So thymosin alpha works very, very well.
Wow. Well, I look forward to seeing people with this because I have a couple of people that I'm thinking would be amazing candidates for it.
Yeah. So as we age, you know, we just lose that thymosin alpha and thymosin beta. So that's why a lot of times it's like, if we can do these things, we're trying to make you, you know, we're trying to make your body act like it was pre maybe life in regards to all the toxicity.
Well, so I mean, in our thymus gland.
Somewhat atrophies and goes away. And so we lose these components. And if we can put that back into the system,
right,
the body invigorate.
Yep. I like that.
Yeah. And so it actually, I just read it too, that it actually, there's obviously a decreased telomere length in immune cell. And so thymosin alpha will, again, try to increase that telomere length in immune cells. And so that is just a new study that I just found out today. So
now, is it primarily in immune cells and not in other cells like epithelium does?
Correct. So okay. B cells' ability to undergo extensive cell division and clonal expansion is crucial for effective immune function. So that's one of the sentences that I took from the study. And so they're talking about that. And so again, that program life, it's like if we can make a cell last a little bit longer and be healthier, then it's obviously going to go ahead and exert its effect, like I said, a little bit longer upon the tissue. So,
very cool. I like that. So more things to help with life enhancement, more things to help with proper aging, but also just even natural immune function.
So again, so let's say somebody comes in, they have chronic fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know that you've tested them for Epstein-Barr.
Right.
Depression. They can't sleep. So you're thinking in your head, it's like, okay, well, you know, what kind of other peptides can I use to expedite recovery? So if you're thinking more of like, well, I took their case and I feel it's more of immuno, you know, compromise, then it's like, great, thymosin alpha. If you're thinking about, well, you know, they don't have any signs or really any infection or those types of things where growth hormone might work well, both of them combined.
Might be fantastic.
Work wonders because, again, so growth hormone can influence the immune system as well.
Right. That is a very interesting thought. So I think a little side note with that. Now, not everybody should stack peptides, I would say. That, you know, there should be a, would you say there should be a limitation to the number of peptides an individual takes? Or should they just be added in one at a time to determine whether there is pros and cons to this peptide being in? Because now we're talking about the combination of thymosin alpha and then growth hormone releasing peptides. And so, you know, they work together quite beautifully for certain treatments, but then there are people that just want to try other things.
Yeah. So I think certain peptides like epithelon, I do believe is utilized for 7 days, and then you do that 3 times a year.
Okay. So pretty short duration.
Pretty short duration. Same thing with thymosin alpha. You can utilize it, and then you go ahead and take, like I said, 3 months off.
Okay.
So you can utilize them in that aspect to ramp on up the immune system. Growth hormone and other ones that we'll get to, it's like you can take those things you know, until they put you upstairs or wherever it's like you're going to take you to.
They put you into the home.
Yeah, hopefully the home, yeah, a nice home. So you won't be, it's like you'll be 80, but your telomeres will still be 60.
Or hopefully younger because you're starting younger and you've already been taking care of yourself. Let's just throw that out there. Like I'll stay in my 30s forever and you'll have so much to deal with forever.
Yeah. So it's, you know, again, so it's just, you know, being a good practitioner. And that's one thing I think that is missed when people listen to a podcast.
Right.
You can test, you know, are you a slow wound healer? Do you have a high, you know, a high CRP? Do you have a high CD4?
Right.
Now, those types of things. Then you can sit there and go, well, or a high fibrinogen, inflammatory markers. Then, you know, yeah, thymosin alpha will be fantastic, you know, for you in that regard. So,
but then that's also the proper testing that needs to be done for an individual as well, which doesn't always tend to be the case.
Yeah. And so I wrote down some of these things. Therapeutic uses are HIV, Lyme, chronic viral, intracellular infections, HBV, HCV, chronic fatigue system, fibromyalgia, diabetes, allergies, chemical sensitivity, immune deficiencies, aging, regenerative medicine. So the thing is, like, those things all have in common is that lovely free radical, oxidative stress, and programmed theory. And so if you think about how you're going to handle someone in life enhancement medicine, obviously take care of them where they're at by helping them with all the foundational stuff. But man, if you can really help slow those theories that are obviously proven, make some good headways in regards to them being optimal.
I like that. Well, and with that being said, so now there's another thymosin. We are talking about thymosin beta as well. And obviously this is another product of the thymus gland. How does this differ?
Well, this one is the mode of action is a little bit regards into the cell rebuilding phase.
So okay.
About immune system, you know, cells have to be broken down and then new ones have to be remade. And thymosin beta somewhat comes into the realm of rebuilding. And so it's present in all human cells. It's like naturally found in higher concentrations in the tissue damaged area.
So if I broke my arm, sprained my wrist, there would be a higher propensity of thymosin beta being released for that area to call white blood cells and our immune system basically to action.
Yeah, correct. Specifically actin. And so it's part of the whole muscle complex and as well as a messenger. So so it's going to go ahead and help on out, just rebuild in regards to rebuilding tissue. And so again, it's like if people ever want studies and stuff like that, they can just always contact me and I can go ahead and give you some of the links.
Well, and we are in the process of setting up a new website, which I'm super excited about. And I will, we'll let you know when it's live, but the website will be called integrativetelemedicine.com. And we will also start posting the studies under each of the videos. As we move forward, obviously the website is not live yet, but when it is, we'll have this talk and then certain, all the different articles associated with the talk as we move forward. So that'll be really exciting. So when you hear this in a couple weeks or a couple months, depending on when you do this, obviously today is October 31st, you know, you'll still be able to not have to worry about contacting us, but we'll hopefully have done our job as well.
Yeah, uploading these things so you can read them. You know, sometimes it's a simple thing. Google thymosin beta for PubMed.
But that's the key, I think, right there is the PubMed. So a lot of people will find a lot of these articles and they'll be from, we'll just say Dr. you know, X or Dr. Y or, you know, whomever. And they'll have a brief interlude about what the peptide does, but it's not an actual study. It's not showing where the science is. It's kind of just taking bits and pieces from what other people have said. So the PubMed statement that Dr. Wallace just said, I think, is the important one because that's where the true research on these medicines are being done. True clinicians are taking that time. So that's the important thing with that statement.
So, so this is something that, you know, we talk about, you know, I wrote this down just because I can't remember all this stuff on a regular basis. So I know I have to write this stuff down too. So obviously thymosin beta, so how does it work? So mechanism of action is upregulate cell binding or building proteins such as actin and it acts with myosin and it forms a contractile filaments of muscle cells. So an upregulation of actin allows TB4 to promote healing cell growth. cell migration and cell proliferation. So a lot of the healing growth factors, VEGF, all those things can go ahead and be improved. And due to its low molecular weight, TB4 is able to hone in on the cell's ability to travel to the site of injury. And so now, it also helps on out with stem cell proliferation at that site as well.
Oh, I like that. Because obviously with all the different types of injuries, we're really hoping that those things start reigniting, right? Now, with thymus and beta, you're talking about replication, you're talking about cellular damage, and obviously repair utilizing thymus and beta. Is this something for a new or an old injury? Okay.
So, you know, it's like a contrast of utilizing this. So again, you know, we do regenerative injections as well. So here is the proliferant, whether it's dextrose or stem cell, you know, or we're now obviously biological allografts. No, we don't use stem cells. So this healing factors, exosomes, PRP, now you can utilize thymus and beta, and it's actually going to help angiogenesis at that site. And so you can obviously help on out with old injuries that just have not repaired, because the first thing we go to, you know, when I was younger is like, give me an aspirin or give me ibuprofen.
Which are all those anti-inflammatories, right?
Yeah, it stops the healing process. Now, so inflammation long-term is bad. Like if you're spraining your ankle and it's 2 years and you still have like inflammation, like huge amount, well, something's going on.
Right.
All that inflammation to happen and take care of it in that component. And then it's like, it will heal itself, but thymus and beta can go ahead and help itself. But also it helps on out with the aging population in regards to sarcopenia, which is muscle loss or muscle wasting. Hmm. So as our aging population starts to obviously become more frail, there are different things. Growth hormone obviously helps on out with sarcopenia, but thymus and beta 4 can really help on out. So you try to go and keep that muscle mass, keep from muscle wasting, because muscles do other functions rather than just move us to point A to point B.
Right. Well, that's an interesting one. That's a good one to note too, in combination again with the growth hormone support.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there is this little tidbit that Dr. Wallace put on our little cheat sheet here for today, and you are noticing that thymus and beta, and I think this is really cool, is helpful with hair loss. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So thymus and beta and thymus and alpha can both help with hair loss, because a lot of time it can be immune dysregulation.
Okay, so maybe like an alopecia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And thymus and beta obviously helps with growth factors.
Okay.
Your genesis back into the area. So again, Dr. Sundermeyer does hair treatments utilizing PRP, biological allografts, but you can also utilize these as well to expedite the process.
Or in combination to even better enhance everything.
Exactly. And so that's where I think the avenue of peptides come in, because they can be utilized with other adjunctive treatments very safely.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about, well, we got to cycle this 4 months after you do this.
And right.
You know, it's like these things can be used in conjunction, because the body is only a messenger system. Now, the good thing, you know, like when you need B vitamins, you know, your body will utilize what it needs, and sometimes it pees out the rest. Well, that's the same thing that happens with the peptide. It'll go, well, I'm going to stimulate this enough to create the effect, but I rarely overdose. And so they've had good studies of people like taking a little bit more in regards to epimorlin and CJC to see what would happen, you know, at the receptor. And it's like the body will go, no, I'm good. And then it will just basically degrade the rest. And so, you know, people can't obviously overdose on anything, but you can feel confident that, you know, if you're following what the practitioner states, it's like you'll be safe, you'll have the benefit from it, and you'll have faster results.
Yeah. Which is kind of the key, I think, with this is one of those great modalities that really do enhance an individual's healing, an individual's athleticism, but also just sense of wellness. I think mental sense of wellness is kind of a big importance with some of the things that we've talked about already today, because unfortunately, mental emotional disorders are hugely on the rise, right? We're overly stressed, we're overly worked, we don't sleep. And so all the things that we do just naturally inhibit our body's own immune system, our body's own growth hormone. It obviously causes hormone dysregulation within our sex hormones. And so these are things that are so nicely added into just a regimen of stress and life that they really can be quite adjunctive to just support you, to keep you at bay from all of these these things that just affect us and cause, you know, severe illness and disease.
Yeah. And so I know we have probably limited time. So the other ones that I'm just going to mention briefly are cerebrolysin. And so again, brain health is very important, especially with the aging population in regards to degradation. Mm-hmm. So it's a nootropic that can help on out with, like I said, decreasing neuroinflammation, increasing synaptic ability, decreasing, like I said, oxidative stress, along with two other peptides, C-Manc and C-Lank.
Okay.
These are nasal sprays that have some of the same effect. And so again, with our aging population, as well as just all the neuroinflammation, you know, these things are great because the molecular weight is very small, so they can pass that blood-brain barrier and create the effect at the brain. And so these things work well with traumatic brain injury and Alzheimer's and dementia, people that actually want to be optimal in regards to, you know, I want to go and be an entrepreneur. And it's like, I want to go ahead and feel like, all right, my brain is nice and healthy. So these things can actually help on out tremendously as well.
Well, there's a lot of good research with C-Lank, I think specifically when it comes to depression and anxiety too. And so I have a couple patients that have been utilizing it and have just really felt like they, you know, they haven't felt in years, primarily because mental emotionally, they were commonly always either preoccupied, overthinking, over-worrying, lack of sleep, and just with this one, you know, these two, C-Max and C-Link, they've noted just their mind isn't on that roller coaster ride anymore. You know, people call it like a monkey mind or something like that. Yeah. So I think that these are actually really promising also when it comes to anxiety state as a simple support. And because they are nasal sprays, I mean, how long would you say that they would take to go into effect?
It's like within 20 minutes.
So, I mean, something that could even be beneficial for an individual dealing with panic disorders as well. I always want, I wonder, obviously it's a daily dose, but it's not something I've dealt with just yet. But I also, I wonder, you know, if I have some patients with panic attacks that have, they decreased this, but now, you know, it does make you wonder, can this be utilized to support an active panic attack as well?
And it's, like I said, ease of operation.
Right.
It's easy to put into a regimen. In that regards.
And then you just have to remember that they're in the fridge.
And the last one, obviously, is Body Protective Compound 157. So I think a lot of people have heard about this one before. So we utilize this one a lot, obviously, with almost any kind of GI disorder in a capsule form because it improves growth factors. It obviously helps on out with tendon repair because it actually increases or increase fibroblast proliferation at the site. So they have great studies in regards to helping on out with those. So again, that old injury that didn't get better, thymus and beta, BPC 157, and pretty much anything in regards to the GI, gastritis, irritable bowel syndrome, colitis, you know, Crohn's disease, all those things, ulcerative colitis, all those things can be helped on out with utilizing BPC 157. So,
but also there's a lot of research with the combination of the two, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. So, sorry, go ahead.
No, I think the whole life enhancement protocol would be growth hormone, probably thymus and alpha, and then BPC 157. So if those three are on a regular basis, man, you'll do well. And then we can throw in a pithalon, like, you know, a couple times a year,
and you'll be great forever.
So, well, I'm excited.
Dr. Wallace, I really appreciate the more in-depth recap that we were able to do, but also the more in-depth conversation with all the peptides that we were able to talk about today. I'm Dr. Sundermeyer.
And I am Dr. Wallace. We are Infusion Health.
We are. Oh, we're getting fancy now. We're going to have to make that into a meme. You can check us on out. We have our Life Enhancement Medicine page on Facebook, as well as on Instagram under Infusion Health. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to us at info@infusionhealth.org. We hope that you guys enjoyed our talk today. And if you have any questions, you can definitely reach out on the number given. We'll do our best to answer them in a timely manner. But definitely, if you have more questions, Dr. Wallace is the man to see. And you can definitely find him and get an appointment with him to get your peptide regimen and your life enhancement medicine regimen going. Because, my Lord, this is the way of the future.
I would agree with you. And we're going to be at the A4M learning more. So
yeah. Oh, this is where I'm excited because I get to start learning now more about peptides myself.
I want her to talk. Next time she's going to do all the talking, I'm going to interview her. So
I know. She doesn't appreciate the interview action.
Yeah, I know. I'll see if I can actually interview somebody.
Oh.
We'll just talk about food.
Food. I love food. Yeah,
gotta go.
This is true.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed our show today. You guys have a great one.
Hello, heavy lifters, deal seekers, business owners, and one-man crews. Welcome to your local cat dealer, Empire. Your home for offers like 0% for 60 months plus 90 days, no payments and no interest. Whether you're buying, renting, or looking for parts and service, at Empire, it all starts with hello. Stop by or visit empirecat.com/savings and be sure to ask about 0% for 60 months plus 90 days, no payments and no interest on new cat compact equipment. Terms and conditions apply.
Wait, are you sure it's on?
Positive.
Wow, it's really quiet.
Yeah, that's Daikin all right. And it does it all with less energy than your old system.
HVAC sure has come a long way. Inverter technology from Daikin uses 30% less energy than traditional non-inverter systems. So while your home is cooling, your energy bill gets even cooler. Daikin, air intelligence.
Contact ACS Air at 520-200-8207 for a free at-home estimate. License number 111230.